All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. I pray you are having a good week, that your Christmas time, your holidays was spent well with family and with loved ones, and that during this time you reflected upon this last year and all the events that occurred, and that instead of idolizing Santa and the reindeer and the snowmen and all these fairy tale creatures that have nothing to do with Christ and the presents and the gift giving, I pray that at some point in time during the day, you took the time to thank Jesus for all the miracles in your life, for all the times he had intervened when he maybe should have not, for the love that he has shown us, for which we are undeserving of. I pray that some of you have come back to repentance and that you seek a new glorious year, that year being glorious by walking after the footsteps of the Master. I want to talk to you today about kingdoms rising and kingdoms falling, about what is probably going to happen in 2024, some things that I'm not going to say I've predicted, I just have seen coming, but so have many others. I was listening to Pastor David Lankford yesterday. He feels very much the same. America is coming to a point in time when we are at another precipice, where we are going to have to cross yet again another Rubicon. One we may be able to conquer, and one that may lead us conquered. But first off, let's start with Daniel chapter 4, starting at verse 28. I was reading this to my family last night and explaining to my children who Nebuchadnezzar was, what he had done, and how God had humbled him, brought him low, and how there at the end he was restored because he praised the Lord. Many people don't know that about Nebuchadnezzar. Many people just think he was turned into a beast, and so ends the story. But it's not true. His son Belshazzar, on the other hand, well, that's a different story. But Nebuchadnezzar saw Jesus in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He made the gigantic idol of gold to himself, and upon the trumpet blasts and the harp and the larynx and all the musical instruments and songs that would be sung at this one time, all nations, all people, and all languages were going to fall down and worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar. The three did not. They refused. They were cast into a blazing furnace, and their captors, the mighty men of this army, tied them up, threw them into this burning furnace, and the heat was so hot that it actually killed their captors. And upon their captors being killed from this extreme heat, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fall into the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looks and he says, "Wait, how many men were thrown into that burning furnace? His commander said, "Three, great king." "Then why do I see four? I see a man with the likeness of the gods." He saw Jesus. Didn't know how to explain it except in his own barbaric tongue. So let's start at Daniel 4:28. Nebuchadnezzar's humiliation. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. And then, starting at verse 34, Nebuchadnezzar is restored. "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?' At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble." How many of you knew that about the great king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar? So let's carry on to someone who did not learn this lesson. All right, starting at Daniel 5, verse 13. Daniel interprets the handwriting. "Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, 'You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought from Judah. I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now, the wise man, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation, but they could not. They could not show the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom.' Then Daniel answered and said before the king, 'Let your gifts be for yourself, and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples Nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up, and whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened, so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all of this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. And the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords and your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know. But the God in whose hands is your breath and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. Then from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Many, many, Tekel, and Parson. This is the interpretation of the matter. Many. God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Paris, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed with purple. A chain of gold was put around his neck, and a proclamation was made about him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius, the Mede, received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. The prophet Daniel served Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Darius. Did you know that during this time, the ancient world of Greece was standing itself up and having battle after battle after battle? Darius, or some call him Darius, was a part of that. And so was his son Artaxerxes. History's pretty cool if you decide to read it every now and then. So why did I read that? For one thing, what it shows you is that even the greatest exalted among us can be brought low, lower than a common beast in the field. And then realizing error, can repent, and from repentance come to praise the Lord and be fully restored again, much like Job, maybe a little different circumstances, but the Lord will raise up who he wants and he will humble who he wants. But for anyone who's out there who's saying, I have done all these things, all these terrible things, there's no way God would ever want me. Read about Nebuchadnezzar. All right, December 26. I'm going to read from our daily devotional. God is faithful. It's actually quite a joy of my heart. How many people are getting this book which I make no money on. I just this is just my personal book. You can see it's all beaten up. And are reading this daily devotional and are growing closer in their walk with the Lord. So praise God. Praise God. You know, guys, all I'm doing is I'm giving you an example of what helps me, and that's this book. It helps me get into the word better. And just as simply, for anyone out there who's struggling in their prayer life, who's a new Christian, you know, if they don't have the proper direction, you don't have the time to sit there and to be with them and hold their hand all day long. Something like this helped to restore a sinner like me. It can help any man out there, any woman out there, any child out there. You know, whatever it is that you got to do to get closer to the Lord, I strongly suggest doing it. But for me, $15, man, if you guys wanted to give Christmas gifts to each other, why aren't you giving something like this and not toys? I always found that to be very curious. But then again, we don't celebrate the federal holiday of Christmas in our household. We just choose not to anymore. We just make it a day more about Christ. So, and I'm not going to get into my theology of all that. It's really irrelevant. I'm not here to sow derision amongst people. So don't be doing that in the comment section either. Keep your opinions to yourself. All right. Now, I was saying at the beginning, 2024, it's going to be an interesting year. Presidential elections, war in Israel, potential war with China, war with Russia. South America looks like it's going to have maybe its own set of wars. Africa is quietly in warfare right now. East Africa is. A lot of moving and shaking. Stuff's coming out about Epstein. That'll be coming out in 2024. So let's go over this real quick. I think this is quite unique. The title for today is 1 Minute Before Midnight. In 1 Samuel 13, we see Saul facing a crucial moment that every believer must eventually confront. It is a time of crisis when we are forced to decide whether we will wait on God by faith or get impatient and take matters into our own hands. Anybody else ever done that? Take matters into your own hands? Saul's pivotal moment came when ominous clouds of war were gathering over Israel. The Philistines had amassed a huge army of horsemen, iron chariots, and legions of soldiers brandishing the latest of weapons. By contrast, the Israelites had only two swords in their entire army, one for Saul and one for his son Jonathan. Everyone else had to use makeshift weapons, such as wooden spears or crude farm tools. See, when the Bible says that the Hebrews were a peculiar people, at this point in time, the Philistines were highly advanced technologically, highly advanced with the tools and weapons of war. And their mathematics, their building capabilities, they were highly advanced. Almost the rest of the world was around this same level, the modern civilizations. And the Hebrew people were so held back. I tend to believe, my opinion, I tend to believe that they were held back personally because then God could not willfully show them that your Stone Age tools are not what helped you win the battle. I did. And so for that, I think the Israelites were willfully held back. I mean, you're only a couple hundred years away after Saul, and the Greeks are creating triremes, giant vessels in the water. You know, you're having not too far after this, you're having philosophy, science, metallurgy, advancements. You've got arithmetic, algebra is being done throughout Persia at this point. Like it's a very unique time in human history, and for the people of God to be so held back technologically. It's done for a purpose. A week earlier, the prophet Samuel, God's spokesman to Israel, had warned Saul to wait for him at Gilgal before going into battle. Samuel had said that he would arrive after 7 days to make the proper sacrifices to the Lord. When the seventh day came and Samuel had not arrived, Saul's soldiers began to scatter. Worse, the king did not have God's direction for battle. The hesitation of unskilled men. I've seen similar things play out like this, where men were gathered, they were expecting their own prophet, their lucky rabbit's foot, let's say that, to appear to help boost the men. And never showed up. And then the men started to infight. And from that infight, separate, create their own little groups. And from there, the whole event was dashed. That was a very unique thing to witness. All because one man did not show up. And it was the man that everybody wanted to see to lead them into victory. Did Saul stand firm and declare that he was going to stand on God's word and wait for Samuel? Even if Samuel arrived on day eight, no. Saul panicked. He allowed himself to be overwhelmed by his circumstances and ended up manipulating his way around God's word. Beloved, God is never too late. All along, the Lord knew each step. The Lord knew each step Samuel was taking, and that he would be there by day seven, even if it was 1 minute before midnight. God has not changed throughout the ages. He is still concerned about whether his people obey this command. Obey the voice of the Lord. And do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. That's 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15, paraphrased. It does not matter if things look hopeless. It doesn't matter. We are to walk in total confidence in the Lord, waiting patiently on Him to deliver us as His word promises. 1 minute before midnight. Let me ask you, is Donald Trump going to be the man who shows up 1 minute before midnight and saves America? Most likely not. Most likely they're going to kill that man. Imprison him, kill him. For whatever reason, they cannot allow Donald Trump to become the president. You're seeing a growing angst amongst the people. You're seeing a rise in internal agony and grief amongst people in America on both the left and the right. People are getting fed up with this open border. They're getting fed up with the transgenderism madness. They're getting fed up with being told what to do by a corrupt government. Who seems to be able to escape itself from any federal law that it violates? American citizens are being harassed by the American government for what? Thought crime? Because they oppose El Dictator Joe Biden? And for anyone within the federal government to go along with that, you are yoking yourself up to that man. blood will be on your own hands when this civil war kicks off that all you guys apparently want to happen. And by guys, I'm talking about the elites. The elites who want madness so that they can take control from the chaos. The elites who want 500 million people in the world and everyone else dead. The elites who don't want you to have First Amendment, Second Amendment, because they do not want you to have guns. They don't want you to have free speech. They don't want you to have freedom of your own religion. They want to be able to be in your house, of course. This very camera that I'm looking at right now, my laptop, my cell phone, my cool smartwatch, everything right now is a listening device. A listening device, a spy device that the NSA, the FBI, the CIA, and others can tap into and listen to you whenever you want. I hope you guys are enjoying the Bible study and the trash talking I'm doing about you, because that's all you're going to get out of me. Americans are growing paranoid. Is there going to be some new variant of some new apocalyptic disease that's going to hit the world and shut everything down again, kill the economy, kill jobs, divide people once more? What is the next unstable step that Americans are going to have to take? I can tell you where it's going to hit you first, most likely, is in the bank. This central banking digital currency stuff, it ain't good. I don't think we can avoid it. I don't like it. I mean, at that rate, every move is tracked. Every transaction has to be approved. For whatever you go to buy, you may even have to be able to give an explanation there on the spot as to why you need to purchase what you need to buy. You think the government does that? You think the government says, hey, Ukraine needs about $100 billion more dollars from the American tax dollar? Is there anybody who can go click, click? Nope. You're not allowed to do that. You have to explain why you need to make such a large purchase request. That's government speak for buying stuff. But look at your politicians. Your politicians who enrich themselves off of the almighty dollar that every bare knuckle, back-breaking, good old boy in America is working themselves to death 6 to 7 days a week, 8 to 12 hours a day. You work your whole day away just to come home, eat dinner of your processed foods, get taxed for using, your heat, your electricity, your propane, and God forbid you can have propane by 2024. And then you get a few hours of sleep, interrupted sleep because of these devices, interrupted, right? Because your smart devices and your smart meters don't allow you to sleep very well. And they track all your movements, by the way. Just to wake up and to do it again so that by the time you are 16 to 65, you can sit back and say, man, I sure did staple a lot of papers together to be able to enjoy the last 3 or 4 years of my life. Time to buy my retirement home. Is that the American dream? It's not. The American dream is dead. It's dead. And these politicians and the elites, they want to make sure that it stays dead because they want you to stay in debt. They want you to stay aggravated. They want you to believe every conspiracy coming out every freaking week. There's a new conspiracy. And you know what it is? So that you don't have a moment of clarity. You always have one thing to be anguished over the next. They throw nothing but filth on the TV and in the internet into your eyes constantly so that it can manipulate your brain. It can darken your spirit. It can ruin the vessel that the Lord inhabits inside of you. The law of the flesh, sin. The great fight that we fight every day. That's why living in repentance is so powerfully important for a Christian's walk. That's why being, not only that, but the countenance of being motivated about doing these things is important. I don't listen to people who are doom and gloom. I don't listen to people who talk nothing about the apocalypse, one thing after the other, and the alerts, this is the most pressing thing you've ever seen in your life from the same dude or lady who posts the same crap every other day or every day. Alert, alert, with all their little steel pictures of themselves on YouTube, like looking surprised. What's the word that the kids use now? Clout. And look, I got sponsors, and I'm not going to say anything bad about my sponsors. They help keep this show on. And my sponsors, thank God, are not like this, but I know others that are. And I know others within the so-called Christian arena, they're fear salesmen. They scare the hell out of you every day with their fake reports from their fake people. Well, I got a hidden person that I can't tell you about, but he's a five-star general. He's a this. He's a brainiac child scientist who can tap into everything in the world and tell you anything that's happening at one point in time. And stay away from those people. How does that help your walk with Christ? We are not to fear. We are not to fear. So why do Christians sell you nothing but fear? They've turned themselves into the same things that the tradesmen in the temple were scourged by Jesus for. And we go right along with it. It hits that little dopamine release in your brain. Ooh, you need to be scared about this. You need to go spend all my money that I should probably be paying bills with and buying extra fuel with and maybe some new clothes for my kids or take my wife out for dinner. Instead, I'm going to, bully peer pressure everyone else around me into saying what we need to do is we need to fill this guy's coffers and buy his gold and his silver and his food and his guns and his intelligence reports and all this other crap. Me and Dave Hodges were talking about this the other day, and we just kind of got disgusted about it. And we're like, where's the light of the world at? Where are the Christians who are motivated to go out and evangelize? Where are the Christian apologists? Where are those who are willing to go out to the needy, the sick, and help out? Or those who are willing to listen to a friend who's reaching out, but they're not there. Their heads are in their phones, listening to their favorite podcasts about the next new boogeyman that's fixing a strike. The Republican Party is the absolute worst about it. But the Democrats aren't no better. I mean, you have one group of people taking advantage of millions of people by saying, we have the new hope. And then you have another group of people taking advantage of all of its own voters and saying, we need you to be the rebellion. Set your cities on fire. Kill your kids. Put up statues of Satan. Idolize it and worship it. Go steal from all these stores. So that way the other guys across the aisle can say that you look bad. And then we all secretly go to lunch with each other and we're all secretly friends with each other. that make sense to anybody? My friend across the aisle over here. Manipulation. America has been deceived, manipulated. Manipulated from the politicians, the government. Manipulated by your school councils. Manipulated by the professors in college. Manipulated by the men and women who claim to be ministers of Jesus. What they really are is they're ministers of their own word, of their religion. And then you're manipulated by your favorite idols that you watch who tell you that we all came from aliens or some ooze or. What the devil sought out to do has worked. Unbeknownst to him, this is all prophecy, but it has worked. There is division amongst the people, division amongst the church. People are willing to go to war with each other right now in America. Not, let alone the rest of the world wants to go to war with us, but they're just a little too afraid. They need somebody to start it. And most likely that'll be us. We're going to start our own war, and then everyone else will jump on and capitalize, right? That's most likely the way that's going to happen. You know, the Bible speaks about civil war. There's one verse I'm going to use that the Bible speaks of, and it's from Isaiah 19, chapter 19, verse 2. So I will incite Egyptians against Egyptians, and they will each fight against his brother and against his neighbor, in a city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. Go to Matthew 24, ethnos versus ethnos, kingdom versus kingdom. The Bible even goes into saying that a man's own enemies will come from his household. Civil war that happened in America in the 1860s wasn't even called civil war until what, a dozen years later. But you literally had brother versus brother divide themselves. And that fighting was done amongst homes, streets that they played on, grew up on, farms that they took care of. Their own family farms. And still killed one another because of politics. Politics is a powerful tool, gentlemen, ladies, and you should pay attention to it because they pay attention to you. Now, I'm not saying that your whole life should be about politics and nothing else about it. But when you think just for a second about the phobos, the fear, that's the Greek word for fear, phobos, the fear that is generated from our politicians. If you didn't know any better, if you didn't actually do your due diligence and do your own research, then you would believe everything these fools would tell you. And sadly, many do. And sadly, many are led to commit atrocities against each other. And it's going to happen again. I want to read a few things of some men who helped establish your demokratia, your democracy. Socrates once said, "One thing I know, that I know nothing. That is the source of my wisdom." Plato, he said, "Wise men speak because they have something to say, fools because they have to say something." Hippocrates, It is more important to know what sort of a person has a disease than to know what sort of a disease a person has. Antithesis. Pay attention to your enemies, for they are the first to discover your mistakes. Aristotle said, "You will never do anything in this world without courage. It is the greatest quality of the mind next to honor." Pericles said, "Wait for the wisest of all counselors, time." One thing that we as Americans should be able to go back into our history and look at the time that America has spent empire building with their own internal conflicts. We've had internal conflicts since the French and Indian War of us being established within the eastern seaboard of the continental United States and becoming colonies until yesterday. It is ongoing. It does not stop. Mark 3:26 says, "If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he is finished." The thing that Satan has done good in this country is that, and I don't mean good as in it's a positive thing, the thing that he did so well is that he divided people every way. The moment you think we could all come together about something, we're divided once again. And everybody's in this shock culture. "Oh, I'm so shocked you said this about me." "Well, I'm so shocked you wore that kind of clothing." "Well, I'm so shocked that your hair looks like that. Your beard looks like that." Or, "Ma'am, I don't know if I'm to call you a ma'am or not." We live in a culture that doesn't make sense anymore. And I see the parallels of history. I don't think anyone's ever experienced what America's going through right now, except maybe Rome. Rome allowed themselves to be destroyed by outside influence. And that's what America has done. Outside influence has destroyed us. You know, most of the things that are going on in America right now are heavily influenced by money from China. They want to destroy us internally because they cannot externally come and hope to even mess with us. But internally, that's how they're trying to destroy us. Sophocles said, "Wisdom outweighs any wealth." I don't care how smart you are, book-wise. I don't care how much money you think you got. Worldly knowledge, experience on your own two feet, from your own two hands, that kind of wisdom is more than wealth. It's more than wealth. And so these extraordinarily wealthy people, they pay people to be wise for them, to prepare for them, to protect them, because all they are is the money tree. And they too will be caught in the same fire. They'll get burned like everything else. Aristotle said that education is an ornament in prosperity and a refuge in adversity. Look at your education system right now. Does it look like an ornament anymore? Our education system is teaching children to go against God, to go against the very nature of being a human. I mean, it's what kind of animal do you want to be this week in college? And people have to call you by that animal. Is this really America? Can you imagine the foreign exchange students coming over here saying, "I want to go back. I feel like I've become dumber since being here." Plato said that those who are too smart to engage in politics are punished by being governed by those who are dumber. This is what has happened to America. Pericles says, just because you don't take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. That's where that quote comes from. Here's a Greek proverb. A society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they shall never sit in. There was a generation that had planted so many trees that shaded America so well that their sons and daughters felt they did not need to continue to become the greatest generation anymore. And everything started to slide maliciously down from there. And now this latest generation is saying, aha, I have found out where we all went wrong. And they point the finger back in time to the baby boomers and say, the baby boomers, you were the ones who were all caught up in the hippie movement, the drugs, the sex scandals. You were the ones who brought in the satanic panic and all the occultism, which we all know this is a lie. But that's who they think they blame now. I hear these conversations. Oh, it's the dang baby boomers. They're to be blamed. But what are you doing? What do you aspire to become? Are you toiling in the ground to plant a tree? Or are you waiting for the internet connection to play your video games? As a farmer, as a country boy, I know that I expect things to be done by the sweat of my brow, by the calluses and dirt on my hands, and I'm going to get out and do it. And if I don't, things just won't get done. And if I don't do it for myself, then I have to go and rely upon the world's largest butcher market, which is Walmart, and get my food from there and get my produce from there. And there goes the little bit of money that I make, because most of it's taxed away anyways. Meanwhile, your politicians laugh at us, look down upon us, call us deplorables. I take great insult, Hillary Clinton, by that, by the way. The reason why I take great insult is because when you say deplorable, you act like you ever did anything in your life that was meaningful. Like Hillary Clinton, I provided a service to the world. Please name the service. And I'm not talking about the one that your husband got from all the other women. You did nothing. You are nothing. You're a scourge upon America. And yet you call us deplorables. I know the way you treated my Marines. Oh, I heard the rumors. No, you don't like dogs. I know the Secret Service guys who watched you know how much you adore them. See, what you people don't know in this elite atmosphere that you think you are, you think you're elite because you're at this higher echelon of government. And all you really do is you just hide the skeletons in your closet that other people have committed. Eventually, when civil war breaks out, you will have nothing and no one, and everyone hates you. How do you think the conditions will fare for you? This is life. This was the life you chose. This will be the life that you get. Now, I know people. I was in the government for 15 years. I know plenty of people who feel much stronger about that than what I just said. Much stronger. I know guys who are currently in the government who say much sterner things than what I have just said. I personally don't want war. I wish Hillary Clinton would come to repentance, stop her evil ways, expose this dark world that she has caught herself up in. But I don't expect it. Now, if the Lord gives us a miracle, praise God. But these people have chosen devilish behavior. They've chosen Satan. They've chosen a devilish behavior, a lust for blood, a lust for fear, a lust for power and control over those that they deem deplorable, lesser than. But they bleed just like you and me. The only difference is they don't have to pay their taxes and they can get away with everything, and you and I are accountable. So give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and stay out of trouble. There. Now you're better than Bill Clinton. Let's get caught up on some news real quick. CBS News reporter makes dark prediction of a black swan event in 2024. Huh. Herridge, this lady that's on CBS, made the call during a roundtable discussion when she was asked by her host, Margaret Brennan, about what we could expect to see unfold over this coming year of 2024. Herridge says, "Well, mine's a little dark. I just feel a lot of concern that 2024 may be the year of a black swan event. This is a national security event with high impact that's very hard to predict. It's not hard to predict when they keep telling you it's coming." She's quoted saying a national security event with high impact that's very hard to predict, pointing to ongoing wars and U.S. division as factors creating fertile ground for our adversaries like North Korea, China, and Iran to take advantage of. Lady, I know you know that's BS, because who's taking advantage of it is the military industrial complex, the prison industrial complex, the pharmaceutical industrial complex, the intelligence apparatus industrial complex, the White House, Langley. You have all the other nefariousness from all your billionaire elite buddies and your Project Mockingbird paycheck that you get. They're all taking advantage of what they need, which is called control. They need to control the nation, the elements, the events, the narratives, the people, the money, the movement, the birth rate. It's control. And they'll do whatever and say whatever and blame whomever to get it. And then they'll give themselves awards for thinking of something intelligent for about 5 seconds that maybe can help us, but they'll never install it. North Korea. Oh, North Korea now says that it has a missile, a ballistic missile, that can actually reach the shores of America. Or some say, if lobbed far enough, high enough, and hard enough, can hit dead center of America. North Korea, they might have one. What you need to worry about is not North Korea, it's the million plus Chinese in this country. What you need to worry about is the amount of terrorism that the FBI continues to let slip in, whoops, get right past our border patrol and come in here to America. As a former police officer, it makes me highly upset to see American citizens being willfully put in danger because we're not doing our job that we're paid to do as police officers, as law enforcement, as investigators. What are we doing? So now Greg Abbott has given Texas law enforcement officers the ability to arrest illegals upon illegal entry into this country. Okay, cool. Where are we going to put them? Our jails are already filled. Our prisons are already filled to the max. I think we have the highest prison population and jail population in America here in Texas. Where are we going to put them? Now it's more people we got to feed. Oh, by the way, if we're going to imprison them and we're going to feed them, then we have to give them free health care. So their heart transplants and all that other stuff, that's on me and you's dime. Then I heard of a nasty little rumor. Trust but verify. I heard of a rumor that they may be possibly trying to give illegals the ability to purchase firearms. Say it ain't so, ATF. At that rate, haze yourself. Go out and haze yourself if you ever let illegals own weapons. Unfreaking real. Here, moving on to the next. This is all from Zero Hedge, by the way. The WEF predicts that 44% of human skills will be replaced by AI in 5 years. Let me see. It's 2024 in just a few days. So 5 years from now will be 2029, leading up to 2030. What is happening between now in 2030 is a pivotal moment in your history. Most likely, 2024 is going to be the cook-off date for that bomb to eventually go off here in America called Civil War. And then you're going to have international wars, World War III, maybe. Now, look, I know people are saying World War III is already happening. I'm saying on a scale to scale, nation colliding against nation. I think that war would last 2 to 3 years of skirmishes, small battles, eventually building up to a Axis versus Allies, BRICS versus UN. NATO, who knows? Who cares? We're all going to be involved in it. Every single one of you listening right now is going to be involved in it. You will be impacted by it. And because of that, you'll probably lose your jobs because there's international war going on. We already know that they're willing to use biological warfare, chemical warfare, radiological warfare, nuclear strikes, probably limited, hopefully limited. I mean, these people are building themselves massive castles into the ground for a reason. All right. What did Mark Zuckerberg in Maui, of all places, just went and built himself $120 million bunker? Poor K. Why? Why do you feel the need to do that? For his family, he says. Which one of you have a bunker in your backyard that you can go to? Just remember that most likely you don't, but you should all feel better. You should all feel good knowing that Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates and Elon Musk and all these other guys and all the political crap, all the politicians, they're not going to miss a meal. They'll get all their health care. And they got a place to go and guides to guard them. That should make you feel good. I'm just telling you that people are highly perceptive of these things and they're not happy about it. All right. Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein's accuser, Virginia Giuffre. I think that's how you're going to say your name. Taunts 170 people to be exposed on his naughty list. An alleged victim of deceased pedophile Jeffrey Epstein celebrated Wednesday after it was revealed that more than 170 people with ties to the accused sex trafficker will soon be exposed, calling the reveal an early Christmas gift. As far as I know, that has not happened yet. Virginia Giuffre or Giuffre, who settled a $12 million lawsuit over allegations that Epstein sex trafficked her to Prince Andrew, appeared to taunt the dozens of associates and ex-employees whose names will be drudged up in a trove of court documents to be unsealed in the coming weeks. Coming weeks, meaning 2024. Black Swan event, 2024. Remember when Epstein's little black book was going to get exposed to the internet? And then aliens happened. Aliens happened. The federal government went hardcore against anyone who was MAGA or showed up at January 6th or had like a thought. Then we had all the stuff with Ukraine and Russia. And then talking about wars 24/7, Jeffrey Epstein, completely forgotten, no longer to be addressed in the news. So, how many of the 170 are our politicians? Probably a lot. And they probably all know it. Hillary. Bill. Trump. I have no patience for any of it. I have no patience for any of it. Let it all come out. Justice does need to be done in this world eventually. U.S. scientists warned that zombie deer disease could spread to humans. Here we go. Now you have that one to worry about. Don't eat the deer. You know, the thing that you'll probably be hunting whenever the collapse of the society happens. Which, by the way, it's why I really stress people. If you think you're going to hunt animals and fish, and that's how you're going to take care of yourself when all this calamity happens, if that's your doomsday preparation, you're kind of a glass half empty kind of guy. Animals migrate. Diseases in animals do happen. And there will be other fellow hunters who will probably hunt you for your game. You may want to like invest in some like guinea pigs and rabbits. I know guinea pig, everybody just completely flipped off. But in Peru, man, they ate the crap out of some guinea pigs. And it kind of does taste like turkey to me, the dark meat of turkey. Yes, I ate guinea pig. Blame Timothy Alberino. Sex trafficking ring 1,000 times bigger than Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Express has been discovered. And it has to do with Joe Biden. Oy vey. So, as we all know, these things are going to keep getting exposed more and more and more. You got to know that these people are willing to pull another 9/11 on themselves, on this country, in order to hide what they've done. But don't worry, because God has already said what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. They will be dragged to the light and exposed. Dmitry Dudeman. Many of you are probably familiar with the prophecies of Dmitry Dudeman. Prophecies of Pastor David Wilkerson and others. I think The Prophecy for America by Dmitry Dudeman is probably one of the most accurate things that are prophesied for America. Scripture that's given in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. And he said, Go and tell this people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of this land. That is the future of America. What I say to do, don't listen to me, I'm a nobody. What I say to do is to get your Bible and to get closer to your walk with Christ than you have ever been. Cling to that old rugged cross and do not let go of it. Reach out for the garments of the Master. In faith, you'll be healed. Reach out in faith and follow his footsteps. Pick up your cross and follow him. Do not be of fear. Be of good cheer. The Lord has overcome the world. We are the sons and daughters of the Lion. Act like it. This world has chosen its place. And when the Lord comes down with judgment, we will bear witness, but we will not partake of it. Have joy in that. Tomorrow, myself and Jamie Walden will be doing a podcast together. We're going to be talking about a year-end event, what's happened throughout the entire year, kind of just throwing everything back together. And then we will be touching base with you about a, how would you say, I think we're going to do a Zoom call, questions and answers with as many people who want to show up and talk to us as possible. So that's all I get. That's all I got, guys. Pray for yourselves. Pray for your families. Pray for mercy from God on this nation. Train, prepare, and pray. Stay frosty. I'll see you next time.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.